Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Did we lose Eddie?
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Thank you for joining us, or me at the moment. I don't know where my partner is. Let me see if this is him. Is that you, Eddie? No? All right, go back to hold then. I don't know who that was, but 718-225, whoever that is. You're going to have to hang in there on hold for a few minutes. So, I don't know where my partner is. This show was more his idea than mine because he wanted to give his thoughts on the lockout and rant and rave. And he's not here. So I'll give you my thoughts on the lockout. Hopefully he'll be here. And we'll go from there. We'll take your calls. 646-478-4692. It's been a long time since I gave out the number, so I'll do it again. 646-478-4692, and hopefully we will hear from, we'll get Eddie in here at some point, I would hope. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chadwick. Nice to hear from you. So I guess, what's the latest? I was looking at TSN. I guess federal mediators are still involved in this shit circus. And they're trying to work out, still trying to broker a deal, but obviously nothing is new. They appear to be no closer to a deal to save the season, according to TSN. And President Barack Obama addressed the stalemate in an interview Thursday with WCCO-TV in Minneapolis. My message to owners and to players is, what the hell is hockey? No, I'm just kidding. You guys make a lot of money, and you make a lot of money on the backs of fans, so do right by your fans. You can figure out how to spread out a bunch of revenue that you're bringing in, but do right by the people who support you, Obama said. And I shouldn't have to be involved in a dispute between really wealthy players and even wealthier owners. They should be able to settle this themselves and remember who it is that's putting all that money in their pockets. And fuck Tim Thomas. Actually, I added that part in. But that was President Obama sounding off on the lockout that is now into its, fourth month, I guess? I don't know. Games canceled until the end of December. The Winter Classic has been canceled. The All-Star game in Columbus has been canceled. So what's next? Well, I get the last time we had a lockout was 2004. Obviously, we lost the season. In 1995, the season resumed on January 20th. We had a 48-game season. And I went and looked at the schedule. I was curious as to what the schedule that season looked like. And the Rangers played, I went and looked, there were, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 instances where they played on back-to-back nights. There were, I think, 9 instances where they played 3 games in 4 nights. The regular season, I think, and this is all off the top of my head, I think the regular season ended somewhere around April 20th. And then the Stanley Cup was awarded on June 24th, which wasn't too bad. But if you remember correctly, the Stanley Cup that year, the finals were also a sweep. So it was over in 4 games. The Devils won over the Red Wings in 4 games. So had it gone another 3 games, you got to figure 26th, 28th, and 20th, and the 30th. So the Stanley Cup, if it had gone 7 games, it would have been awarded probably on June 30th or possibly July 1st. So with Christmas, what are we now, 10 days, 11 days from Christmas, you got to figure that even if they struck a deal tonight, the soonest you could probably see the season start, I would guess, would be, I don't know, January maybe 5th, between the 5th and the 10th, by the time they had a schedule ready and got teams, got everybody back from Europe and got them into a compressed camp with some kind of preseason schedule. I don't know. Maybe there would be no preseason. I don't know. I don't know how fast you could organize a preseason, you know, 3-4 games, 2-3 games. I don't know. Teams don't typically like to travel much during the preseason. So that would have to be hastily thrown together. I don't remember if there was a preseason in 1995, nor do I care to look. So I would think right now, I would say, you know, if they struck a deal tomorrow, the soonest you could have a season would, I would estimate, somewhere between January 5th and January 10th. And again, you'd still only be looking at tops, a 48, maybe 54-game season. And again, you know, it would be a compressed schedule, although a compressed schedule would not have the same effect on this Ranger team that it did on the 95 team, which was obviously a much more veteran team than this one is. But I would still worry about, you know, I'd worry about the goaltender, you know, playing all those nights. And, you know, with a backup goaltender that didn't look that strong last season at times, you know, I'd be worried about all those things. But at this point, I still think this season is done. And I think, I don't think we're going to have a 2012-2013 season. That's just my opinion. I think the longer this has gone on, there's so much bitterness between the two sides at this point that I just don't see it happening. Oh, Cutter's here. Well, fuck yourself, Cutter, as long as you're here. Nice to see you. So, again, phone number 646-478-4692. If anyone is driving around Lake Ronkonkoma, New York, and happens to spot Eddie, remind him that we had a show tonight. I don't know, maybe his internet's down or something. I see we have a couple of calls on hold already. So we'll go right to the phones. 718-225. You are the first caller on the return of Blue Shirt Underground for one night only, at least right now. Who's this?
Stan.
We have been on it. Stan. Oh,
yes, sir.
How are you? We haven't been on it so long, I don't remember people's numbers.
Right.
That's been.
I'm lousy.
How are
I got
you, Stan? I got to hear from you.
Terrible. I got a cold for the first time in a couple of years, so I feel lousy.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, my kid emailed me that you were on, because he had gotten your, I guess, email. He must have, you know, sent him one, and he told me about it. Or else I never would have known.
Maybe he saw it on Facebook or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's always on these things, you know.
Okay.
So whatever.
So how you been?
Well, I've been all right. I'm fine outside of the cold.
Oh, yeah. Outside of the cold.
But, yeah, this whole thing is ridiculous. And Bettman is just a disgrace. I mean, I just do not understand what goes through this man's head. I mean, if you were a businessman, would you hire this guy to run your company? I mean, really?
No, I don't think I would. And I believe Eddie has joined us.
Oh.
Yes. I am here.
Good evening. Always likes to make an entrance.
I got to tell you, this is a total nightmare. But I'm here, I just heard, I heard a familiar voice.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't heard in quite a while. How you doing,
Stan,
my friend? Stan, I got to say, I couldn't agree with you more about Bettman being a total disgrace.
Well, you know, it's not just him. What I don't understand is, how do you have a majority owners who are supporting this? This thing could have been ended a long time ago. I mean, when you read about what the differences are, there's almost no difference. I mean, they could easily split it. It's like one guy's asking for 1,000 and somebody's asking for 1,100. Well, you know, you think you could go, like, meet in between?
Right.
I mean,
it's
crazy.
And, you know, was it surprising to you guys last week when James Dolan, of all people, wanted to get involved in this meeting and try and get this done, and they wouldn't let him in? They wouldn't let him come to the meetings?
It's amazing that he's one of the most sane people in this.
It's amazing that he remembered he had a hockey team.
Well, I think one of the stipulations was that his band would have to play at the...
and he wanted to bring Isaiah Thomas with him, I guess.
Right. He must be furious. I mean, look what kind of money he's losing.
Yeah.
Now I'm not like, you know, I don't know if Jim's talked about this, but like I haven't really got, I mean, I always read about it, but I'm not one of these people that is super getting into like every detail. But isn't it Bettman and like five other owners are the ones really making the call whether they approve or not? And leaving, you know, like Dolan, Dolan is not one of these guys, but I know the guy from Philly is Snyder, and he looked like he was going to crack for a while. And, you know, listen, the Fear brothers, Donald Fair, I mean, this guy plays hardball. We see it in Major League Baseball. But really, I mean, I don't want to get into things, but, you know, I'm with Stan on this. You know, how can, this is my main thing, if I just may say this, you can continue on with the whole show. I'm sorry I joined you guys late. But to me, all these owners, two owners, the Minnesota owner, the Parisi contract, the Ryan Suter contract, all these big deals, and then the CBA comes out, and now we're crying poverty. We want to roll back the deals, we want to roll back the years, the players are being overpaid. When the owners... a part and parcel to this whole madness.
Sure.
So, and I just can't, I really can't imagine a worse commissioner than this guy. I mean, he's really destroyed the game in a lot of different ways. For me, I'm not a fan of the shootout, you know, the skills competition. I thought that was a, you know, all right, fine.
It's a gimmick.
You know, yeah. It's a gimmick. But I, you know, I acquiesced with that. I acquiesced with the overexpansion that we all knew hockey is not going to work where they put it, especially in the South, in Atlanta, and in the West with Phoenix and this and that. We all knew this. It'd be just like a rocket science, but they took the money and they ran with it. And now they're crying poverty. It's hard for me to empathize with those guys. I'm sorry. It just is.
Yeah, oh, I was sort of with the owners on the last lockout because I thought, you know, things had gotten really out of hand. You know, when Bobby Holik is getting like $9 million a year, you know, something crazy. But now it's just, it's really the owners' fault now. I mean, they could have just tweaked this thing a little, made it get a little more reasonable. And just how is this helping the game or the league? I mean, it's nuts.
It's not. It's killing the league. And me and Jim talked about it on the other show the other night about how I think we feel like we've been ripped off. I mean, like we felt like they really did us dirty this time. And I think, and I know I'm not all for these protests because everybody on Facebook's got some kind of protest going. But really, show these owners that the first game they come back, first home game, nobody go.
I don't think that'll be a problem in a lot of places.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can you imagine Madison Square Garden with, like, 4,000 people in it? I thought the place would be
This just in from Long Island. Islander fans have stated they will not go to Nassau Coliseum for
wow.
opening night.
wow.
They say that's it. They're staying home in protest. Apparently, they've been protesting this lockout for the last 15 years.
Oh, by the way, I meant to ask, as long as Eddie's here, I've got a question for you, Eddie. This whole Islanders to Brooklyn thing, like I was talking to this with my son, I don't think this is going to go too well because you're out in Ronkonkoma, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you must know Islander fans out there. Is an Islander fan going to go from Ronkonkoma to Brooklyn to see a game?
No.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not getting, you know, a Ranger fan in Brooklyn isn't going to change his allegiance. There's not a single real Ranger fan that's going to become an Islander fan. So I don't think this is going to help their attendance at all.
No, I don't think it's going to help them. I mean, you know, other than they'll have, a nice place to play, which it doesn't hold that many people to begin with. And you're right. I think people, especially, like, I'm in Suffolk County, and, like, the city and the five boroughs are, like, a foreign entity to people out here. I mean, they don't, and even Nassau County, even the Coliseum is a little bit of a reach for these kind of people. And, the hassle to get there. And the Ranger fan will, like for me, I'll take the train. I'm the last stop on the Long Island Railroad. I'll take it in, hour and a half, pay my money on the train, which is a little absurd, whatever it is nowadays. And, and take it all the way back to watch and pay $60, $70 for a ticket. I don't think the Islanders fan can do that. I don't think the Islanders fan wants to do that. Until that product is a little bit better, maybe. But I agree with you there, Stan. I don't think this is an automatic win for the Islanders by going to Brooklyn.
No. And you can't, especially with everyone used to drive to the Coliseum. So, I know, like my mom lives in Port Jefferson. Even the Port Jefferson from the Coliseum is 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's by call. You can't come into Brooklyn from there. It'll take you 2 hours to get home.
Yeah.
You change the trains in Jamaica and everything. Nobody's going to do that. And you can't take your family and pay for, three, four train tickets. It's insane.
No, you're right. I mean, the way the train is nowadays with the prices, I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that anybody from that area is just going to be like, I was never into hockey, so maybe I'll go catch this hockey game. Brooklyn's playing the Rangers tonight. So are they essentially going to start off with a brand new fan base? Is that what they're doing? They're basically an expansion team again?
Well, they're. I think what they're hoping for is the same kind of Brooklyn kind of pride. Like what they're hoping to do, what the Nets are doing.
But yeah, it's different.
I think basketball is a whole different ball game.
I just think they're going to be able to do something similar to that, offering people an alternative to the established team.
But why would you go to that alternative?
I'm just saying. I mean. It seems to be working okay for the Nets, but
I think
hockey fans are more diehard than basketball fans.
And I think basketball fans are more likely to go see a basketball game. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but it's like I live in Brooklyn. I'm a Knicks fan, but hey, the Nets are playing the Heat tonight, so maybe I'll go to the game.
Right.
Whereas, like, the Islanders are playing, Pittsburgh. I'm not going to the Coliseum,
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't think it solves their problems, but they certainly can't go on playing at that dung heap. I mean, really, that place is a joke. But every time I go past it, it's almost sad, but it's just like, like a remnant of the past. I don't feel any remorse for it. No, like I said, I'll be there when they demo that place or when they get those trucks. And like Costa just said, there's only 14,000 at Halden Park. I'm surprised the NHL let them do that.
Yeah, but they don't draw 14,000 now, so it's an, you know, he's not going to fill the place.
I know, but I thought there was some NHL bylaw where you had to have a stadium that had like 17,000 or something that could.
There was. Pass. There is. They had to. They had to make an exemption for Winnipeg.
Yeah. So I mean, so I guess that's out. The, you know, I don't know. Maybe
I mean, this goes back to Bettman. I mean, he left Winnipeg, goes to Phoenix. Phoenix is a disaster. He goes back to Winnipeg. The Atlanta thing. I mean, he's just everything this guy does, he screws up, and they keep him.
He's
keeps his job.
Because you know he's a representative of the owners. He's the owners, and you know.
There's a lot of idiots running this league. I'll tell you that.
It's the most. You know, Mario Lemieux said it many years back when he said it was a garage league. And it really is. I mean, I don't agree with anything Mario Lemieux says ever, but when he said it, you know, the NHL is a garage league, it really is. It's run like Major League Indoor Soccer was, like back in the 80s. I mean, it's like roller derby. The Gotham roller derby probably has a better commissioner. Can you imagine the booze that this guy is going to get the first time he steps on the ice? Man, he better wear a bulletproof vest.
Hey, I'll put a bounty on him. I'll throw a couple thousand in. Like Reg Dunlap.
Yeah.
Well,
listen, Stan, thanks for checking in. We're going to let you go.
Yeah,
we got a bunch of calls tonight. Everybody wants to talk. And take care of that cold. Have a Merry Christmas. And hopefully we'll be back on the air soon with you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Take care.
Good night. The great Stan from Bayside. The one and
you
only.
You think I was... Huh?
What's that?
I left a little doubt in your mind what I was going to show. I got cornered at Chicago. I was at a... Oh, go ahead.
No, I didn't hear what you were breaking up. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said I was at a charity event. That's why I was late.
The Daughters of the American Revolution.
Yes. Yes. So I was a little bit late, but I'm glad. We got plenty of phone calls. Let's get right to that. I missed this part of the show.
Yes. All right. Captain, what's going on?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Remember we just had that thing that we talked about where the guys, they skated around with the stick and the puck?
Roller derby.
I vaguely remember that. Vaguely.
Yeah, it's been a while. I firmly contend that there isn't a team in the league that is hurt more by the lockout than the Rangers because they're beginning a window where they're supposed to be good. And it's one more year that they may or may not play in this window where they're supposed to be good. This could happen like in 97.
Well, see, I agree with you there in a way because finally we have a young team. It's not like we got a bunch of aged veterans like who are kind of like, you know, over the hill and, you know, we can't wait to say bye-bye. We're losing valuable years of guys with a good young core. So that's what bothers me. I mean... And you're right. I certainly agree with you there that it does hurt the Rangers, who are you know, a younger team and kind of had that momentum of the playoffs from last year. I mean, it was long and it was grueling. And, you know, there'll be people say, well, at least it gave Gaborik, you know, some more time to heal. But this, I'd rather have had a full season, you know, without Gaborik healthy than what we're probably going to be left with, which is either a muted season or no season at all. Go ahead.
I was going to say, not even just that, but even if whether they play this year or not, it's a year off of everybody's contract. So all these young kids we have on cap-friendly – look at Chris Kreider, for example. If they don't play a season this year and they do next year, then the Rangers are going to have effectively one regular season of his three-year entry-level deal. Like, how stupid is that if that's what actually what happens?
Yeah, I didn't know the particulars of that. Yeah, that does, I mean, that is a burr in the saddle for sure for the Rangers who have. Does this count for people that don't have, like, entry-level contracts? Like, do we get a year off Mike Rupp's contract?
It's a year off everybody's contract. It's like they played. So, but still, for a team,
but they're being
where
more
they are,
I don't know. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. So,
yeah.
But shouldn't they be? I don't get it. It's a year off your contract, but they're not paying you for that year. So I don't get how
right.
that works.
You're signed for a term. You're signed until this year. So when that year comes, if we're still on this planet, then that's when your contract's up.
Ah, boy. So why didn't this happen when Red and Roosevelt were around?
Exactly right.
They waited until McDonough got around and Kreider got around and Stepan and all these guys.
And again, they want to lower the salary cap. I mean, again, you have a team here where these guys are going to come due for deals. They can't keep the team together. They're going to lose one or two of these young guys just because they can't field a full roster. They just went and traded for a guy with an $8 million contract. That's the nature of it. I think they get it done at the last minute. I think right now it's like the last it's Texas Hold'em, the river's out, and they're just trying to stare each other down. They just want to see who will give a little bit more so that they can claim victory. I think at the end they find a way in the middle of how long the CBA is. They determine 6 or 7 year max contract, but the reality is the owners want to be protected from themselves. Because if you don't have these max contracts, they're going to give 13, 14-year deals like we just saw this past summer. So, in effect, they want it to be kind of in writing that, hey, it's not that we don't want to give you a 14-year deal, it's that we can't give you a 14-year deal to protect themselves from spending God knows how much money for players who, when you give them that kind of financial security, aren't really going to play their best anyway. So that's really what it comes down to. But, and I don't know if you guys kind of feel this way too. It seems like there's four sides to this lockout. The rich players, the poor players, the rich teams, and the poor teams. And they're all pulling it in different directions. Because the Rangers, Flyers, Toronto, Detroit, they play right now. I don't think they even care if they're the salary cap or not. But it seems like the Nationals of the world and the Floridas of the world, I mean, they're still losing money paying a $40 million payroll. So it's just, you're being pulled in so many different directions that of course nothing gets done. Because it's not just one side versus the other.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like you said, the Nationals and the Columbuses. But, you know, what is this? They got to protect themselves. What happened to being prudent? I mean, you had Columbus last year. They went out and got Jeff Carter and spent all this money to get there. And, it doesn't pan out. I don't know. I think they want to have their cake and eat it, too. It's ridiculous. Now, I know... In the past, the Players Association has been kind of like pegged as like, all right, we're the good guys. We just want to play hockey. You know, we'll accept the deal. But now fear has got them, towing the hard line. And I don't think Buttman likes it at all. He doesn't like these.
With Donald Fear, he's met his match.
Right.
You know, they're two sides of the same coin.
See, and that's the reason that the NHL even didn't want to bring Dolan into the room. Because if you kind of remember the way the last lockout ended, the players divided. They fired the guy, I think his name was Goodnow, who was leading their thing, and then they signed this horrible deal, or so they thought it was at the time. So now that they can't divide the players, the players are trying to divide the owners by getting the more moderate guys who want to play and don't care about the money, because they print the money, basically. And they don't want these people there because they need the Scrooges of the league who don't want to pay any money to anyone. They're the ones
right.
who need to be in there talking about, oh, woe is us, we're only making $10 million, so on and so forth. It's just, I think they get it done. I do. I don't know if in the long term that's the best for the league. I think either way, the team, again, that gets screwed the most is the Rangers, any way you cut it. Cap's going down. It's a year off of people's salaries if they play. Again, I think the solution to all of this is a luxury tax like baseball has. Let the Rangers spend as much as they want to. Let the Flyers spend as much as they want to. That's what they want to do. And then have whatever overage you have, you pay a tax on that, which goes to teams who can't, if you really want to do it that way. But, again, they're trying to get cost certainty.
I actually think – I don't know. I'm kind of like this whole – I don't want to get into, like, to equate it with politics, but it's almost like
– Oh, you're 100% right.
Like, they're too big to fail, these teams. You know, if a team can't draw and a team can't get its act together after 5 or 6 years and be competitive and draw, they deserve to go defunct. This is the way. This is the way it was before. Now it seems like every team has got to be rescued. You got Phoenix being rescued by the NHL. You've got all kinds of other stuff going on, and I just you cannot convince me. You cannot convince me, no matter what you – Bettman has said that this league is solvent and this and that. That Islander disaster has to be costing Wang millions and millions of dollars. And that's just one team. And they've
there's only like 10 or 12 teams that are making any money, but they're making a lot of money.
Right.
That's the real gripe. Is these other small markets, they want revenue sharing, and the Jim Dolans and Snyder's of the world are like, yeah, no, I don't think so. So,
now,
again, and, you know.
Well,
maybe
Captain, I wanted to ask you, Captain, are you going to be boycotting in any way, or if you like me, that once it comes back, it's back. I'm getting the hockey package.
I'm a sucker. I'm an absolute sucker. On the 25th of December, I'm going to open at least 5 or 6 gifts with New York Ranger logos on them because I'm a sucker, and that's all that it's in your blood. You can't turn it off. As soon as they say we're going to play hockey again, I'm going to get excited. My team's good. We have a chance to win something. They know that they have us by the balls because hockey fans are different than every other sport in the country because we don't turn it off. We talk hockey when there is no hockey. We have radio shows in the middle of August when there's no hockey to talk about because that's what we are. So they know that's why they can push us and push us and push us because they know that we'll come back. Because if they didn't think we'd come back, they'd realize, oh, well, maybe we need to get this lockout taken care of. We're going to lose our fan base. But they know. They know in the cities where it matters, they're not going to lose their base. So, again, I wear Ranger stuff half a week. It's half my wardrobe. It's who I am. So I can't, you know, for better or for worse, it's been ingrained in me since I was very small child. I can't turn that off. And they know that. So they exploit it and, you know. I hope to go to 2 games of the 35 they'll play, and then we'll go to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it, listen, I'm all for if you want to protest the first home game, I think it would be an appropriate way of the fans showing, you know, don't fuck with us. This is 3 lockouts. I agree with Carpinello, who's. At one point, wasn't even referring to Bettman, Gary Bettman as Bettman, just as the lockout commissioner, because basically that's what he is. He's a lockout commissioner. And I think send these guys a message the first game or so that, you know, you can't fuck with us. This is ridiculous. You're ridiculous. This is
it's corporate money. It's a lot like baseball. You look at the teams in baseball that are always good and are always competitive. It's where there's major corporate dollars. Sports anymore in America is not the, you know, you, me, and Jim getting tickets to a game. It's the entire lower level of the Garden, which is owned by every corporation in the city of New York. So the corporate dollars, they want to take their big wigs out, and they want to entertain their guests, but they're going to keep buying the tickets whether they go to the games or not, the tax write-off. So you're not going to... In places like New York and Philadelphia, you're always going to have that. Not to mention long-time rabid fan bases who will pay God knows how much money, even on the secondary market, to go to the game. But you run into problems in non-traditional markets like the Nationals of the world where you just don't have that. But unfortunately, you can't make hockey 82 games in a football-sized stadium, or maybe they would try to fit more people in.
Yeah. It's certainly a quandary, but I'm not one who's going to protest. I've seen people, I'm going to burn my Ranger stuff. Come on. Let's not be a moron about this.
Yeah, you want to burn your Ranger stuff so you can buy more when they come back? Okay.
Yeah.
Help the economy.
What were you going to say, Jim?
This is just from CBC. 2 days of talks between the NHL, the Players Association, and federal mediators still haven't provided any answers on how to end the lockout. Representatives from the fighting sides made it into the same room with a federal mediator Thursday. They just didn't make any noticeable progress after a failed day Wednesday when the parties on either end of the hockey labor dispute never met with each other. Lawyers from each group spoke face-to-face on Thursday. They appear no closer to a deal to save the season, but will meet again on Friday.
I don't know, man. It's getting grimmer. I really thought something would come out of this.
Yeah. Guys, let me get going. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully we have a few more of these because there's something to talk about. Good talking to you.
Yeah. Take care, Captain.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Now, we got a couple of calls left on hold. Before we get to the other calls, I want to ask you a question. And then we can kind of, the chat room can discuss it. We can ask the rest of the callers, what they think. Now, I've made reference to this a few times on the shows, and I've said it to people a few times. The last time there was a lockout, basically the NHL's form of apology was, thank you fans, painted on the ice. What do you think there will be some kind of incentive given to the fans? Something, will the NHL do anything for the fans? As a way to apologize?
What can they do, Jim?
Well, I've heard a lot of rumors about possibly free game center this year.
Okay. All right. That's better.
I mean, the general consensus from the media and everyone is that something has to be done. Do you think there'd be something? Do you think the league will offer some kind of olive branch?
I don't think so.
Or do you think they paint welcome back on the ice and they drop the puck?
Yeah, it's basically thank you fans, you're the most loyal fans, our apologies.
Right.
It's not about you, it's about business and the good of the league and make the league solvent and whole, that you have your hockey for eternity or in 5 years to lose another lockout.
Right.
I mean, it's a thought. I don't know. I'm not that optimistic about anything. Like, if this league was run by a human, a human being, maybe. But this little weasel's got to be punched. I mean, he's the death of hockey. And I understand. I know you're a businessman, but and now they want to make the, I know one of the main sticking points, correct me if I'm wrong, is this, before you can negotiate your first contract. Is that, I believe, one of the sticking points?
I think so.
Yeah. So basically means if you come in at 19, 20, you got to wait till you're 25. Your career could be over. I don't know. I mean, it would be nice, but I'm just not that much of an optimist. And Costa's laughing.
Wazili's there, I know.
Yeah, Wazili, what do you think? You think the NHL will give us any kind of apology? A worthwhile saying, listen, I really don't think so. But I also wanted a little bit of some Ranger news. I don't know if you read about this. That newly acquired Jeff Halpern during the 12-12-12 concert at Madison Square Garden was sitting next to Ryan McDonough when Roger Waters came on, and Ryan McDonough had no idea who Roger Waters was. So Halpern has to tell about the guy for Pink Floyd. I know, but still. Yeah, it's ours. You know who Bruce was?
Well, everybody knows who Bruce is. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's Bruce. There were lots of Rangers and ex-Rangers former Rangers at that concert last night, from what I heard. Richter was there. Adam Graves was there sitting next
answering
to Whoopi.
Answering the phones, yeah. Yeah, Whoopi,
so,
right?
Sitting next to Whoopi. I hope he got his shots. I had to go there. I almost didn't go there.
Can't that'll work.
She said,
really? You don't like her?
Oh, please.
I like her.
that big fat face of hers. Enough with the cornrows. Enough.
Like
Guinan. Ugh, enough, please. You've been funny in 20 years. She sits on that show with those other hens. Anyway.
Huh? Okay, I like this. I'm finding out everybody that you hate.
I know, right? Yeah, it's, we've been ranting on people the last couple of nights. I forget what I was going to say. Now I lost my train of thought.
Ranger Dude 35, isn't that Zach Budnick?
That is the great Zach Budnick.
I love you, man. I see your Facebook posts and I laugh every day. You always got something wacky going on.
One of the last, you know, Budnick's one of the last men standing from that original core group of people that we brought together who have now all abandoned us.
Zach is an independent thinker and he doesn't people to spit on the subway.
That's right. We appreciate you still being here, Zach, where while others have fallen by the wayside and broken off into their little cliques. You should call in, Zach.
Yeah.
All right, Zach? You want to talk to John Grossman?
Sure.
Let's see if I can put him on the air here. What's going on, John? Hello?
Hello?
Is that you, John?
No, not John.
Oh, it's Chandler.
Oh, my Lord.
I saw the 612 area code and thought it was John Grossman in, because he's in Minnesota. I forgot that you still have that Minnesota area code. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Glenn Saint is a fucking pimp. It has been a good year, man. Things have been going well, so I've been kind of trying to, you know, keep it together. Then, of course, the hurricane hit, which has made things worse. But I've been following you guys on Twitter and Facebook. But you know, life sometimes intervenes when you're trying to have fun. So,
that's
yeah,
everything all right?
Huh?
Everything all right?
Yeah. This week has been too bad. So,
okay.
Sorry.
I'm starting to jones now that the football season is winding down. Now I'm jonesing for my hockey. Right about now is where I'm full throttle into it, you know, and I've already made my, you know, this is part of the year where I've kind of know my assessments. I've made my assessments on each player, who to hate. Well, not who to hate, but, you know, who to rag on and who I like and I was telling Jim this. I miss the frustration, the elation, all that thing that comes with being a Ranger fan. I just totally miss it. And I know you probably feel the same way. I was at a Hershey Bears game. This is how bad it was. I was at a Hershey Bears versus the Norfolk Admirals in Pennsylvania. And, you know, people were screaming shoot on the power play. And I was like, wow, I missed that about the Ranger games. It's a bad power play. They can't get the fuck. Nobody's behind the net for the whole power play. It's like nobody wants to shoot. I miss it.
Yeah. Listen, I've been watching KHL games, okay? So,
wow.
You know, I don't know three quarters of the damn players, but I'm watching KHL games on the Watch ESPN app on my damn phone just so I can see hockey. All right. I was trying to find that Canadian red-white game the other day. So,
jeez, you really are. You're searching. I won't even bother to search.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a Jet fan, so you know, football season was over for me when the season started. So I've been missing hockey from the beginning. So
you don't think the Jets are going to muster up a run the table sweepstakes if they play? As someone said today,
I'm a Jet fan. I know they're not. They'll get close enough to, you know, they'll get close enough to get me excited, then they'll screw me. It is what it is. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm ready for that, but no. But I was listening to you guys earlier, and it's actually seven owners is all he needs to form a consensus, and he can block the other 20-some-odd owners, which is the dumbest.
That's what you say, yeah.
Who came up with that? How is seven greater than what is it, 30 teams? How is seven a good number for a majority? This is the kind of math that Bettman uses. See, we have 30-some-odd teams. Let's make seven the majority. That makes sense.
Right.
I mean, you know, and as far as what they And, you know, seven of them. And, of course, it's all the small market teams who hate all the big market. Well, teams who claim this small market because, you know, Minnesota just gave two players $200 million, but nobody had a problem with that. But, you know, they're hemorrhaging money, according to them. You know,
yeah.
But they gave two players $200 million. But you know, and then you got these guys, these media guys will say, well, that's why they need the cap. No, they need to fire the damn GM who gave two players $200 million. If you can't run your business, then you shouldn't own the damn team. I don't want to hear about the spending's out of control. You're the one spending the money. So how is it the players' fault that you don't know how to run your franchise? I've never understood that argument about the cap. Well, the salaries are out of control. If nobody offered them the money, then the salaries wouldn't be out of control.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there's maybe five players in hockey who deserve to be paid the money that Parise and Suter got. And they're not one of the five. Neither one of them are one of the five. There's maybe five guys that deserve $100 million contracts. The rest of them really don't. So why would you offer a guy who doesn't deserve that type of money? Well, we have to because someone else offered to him. Okay, well, then let them be stupid and let them lose the ownership of their team and get an owner in there who actually knows how to run a franchise.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It seems like every time they run into this, when salaries start getting thrown around that are out of whack, then it's time for a lockout. And, you know, the salary cap certainly was one of the better rules. And you'll probably agree with this, that helped the Rangers that they had to watch their money.
Because it made them spend the money wisely, and I get that. You know, my motto's always been, it's not the employee's responsibility to make the owner run a company wisely. I should have to take less money because you're a moron. That's just the way I've always looked at it, but, you know, that's just how it is, okay? So, but, and then now they're making it about Don Fear. This is not about Don Fear because the last time was about Bob Goodnow. So who's it going to be the next time? The Tooth Fairy? Oh, it's the Tooth Fairy's fault we're locking the players out. Oh, it's the Cookie Monster. It's Godzilla's fault. It's always someone's fault other than Batman. It's never
his fault.
He negotiated this contract that he claims is so terrible. He's the one who locked us out to get the contract that they claim is terrible. So how does that work? You negotiated a bad contract. You took hockey away. Now you're taking it away again because you negotiated a bad contract. So at what part of that makes sense to anybody? How does that work?
No, I mean, I'm in total agreement with you. I mean, depreciation to the proverbial choir here. I mean, but, you know, what will it ever take for this guy to get ousted? I really don't. What could he do? Shoot Wayne Gretzky, maybe?
No, I mean, as long as he has those seven owners in his pocket, he'll never be fired. Like, if you think about it, the guy's a genius, if you think about it. He's managed to hold the job for 20 years, get paid millions of dollars, and do absolutely nothing but ruin the business he's in charge of. And they're paying him to do it, gladly. And they keep giving him raises. You say what you want about him. The guy's fucking genius. I need a job like that. Well, I can be terrible. I can ruin the business, and you keep giving me a raise. He's ruined hockey for 20 years, and he keeps getting raises, and he's made millions of dollars. He's got the best job in the world. And the guy's going to die there as a commissioner. Okay, that's when he's not going to be commissioner, when he drops dead. Okay, because if I was him, I'd never leave that job. Are you kidding me? Let me see, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to know anything. I could ruin the game and you still want to pay me? I'll sign up for this. I'll sign up for 7 days a week, twice on Sunday. But I don't know. But as far as what they could do, what I would do is the first week of games would all be free. The first week of games, no admission. All the teams, no admission for the first week of games. Game center free, all the blackout restrictions lifted. That's what I would do to pay the fans back. And all season ticket holders get a full refund. Basically, you get the season for free. That's what they should do if they end the lockout. But I think Bettman wants to wipe this season out because he wants to break the union. I've thought that from the very beginning. This was about breaking the union and going back to the days of guys not being able to have free, you know, keeping guys when they come in at 19 and keeping them until they're 30 when they pass their prime, say, oh, yeah, you can go be a free agent now. That's what I personally think this is all about. This is not about salaries. This is not about revenue. This is about breaking the union. And he's going to wipe this season out to break the union. Because that's what happened the last time. The union caved, and they took a deal they didn't really want, but they took the deal because he wiped out a season. And that's what he's going to do this time. He's going to wipe the season out. Watch and see. He's going to wipe the season out. Because if they don't start playing by what I think is the 15th of January, there's really no sense in having a season.
No.
Let's try to have hockey in July.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. 4th of July. Hey, let's go to a hockey game on the 4th of July.
The Garden Ice should be pretty good in July. What we found out last year.
There you go.
Yeah. they can't make ice in a garden in January. How the hell are they going to do it in July?
Oh, boy.
They don't have the recipe.
I don't know.
So I wish we could get back to discussing whether Michael Delzato has a lot of balls for asking for more money. Wish we could go back to that.
Yeah. A lot of people still talking about him. Apparently, he's not. They don't like him. Where is he playing? Sweden?
I don't know.
I think he's playing in Sweden or Switzerland. And apparently, the fans there don't think he's defensive. He's defensive enough as a defensive player. I think he's a minus player there. So,
if
you know,
the Swiss
wherever
thinks
he goes,
defensively.
Yeah. When Swiss and Swedish players don't think you're a good defenseman, something is really wrong.
All right. I mean, you know, they're not dull. You know, you got your Matt Zuccarellos and all that type of guys. They're not even though.
Exactly. If you can't be a good defenseman over there, something is really, really wrong. All right, because everybody's half your size. I mean, come on, how can you not hit somebody half your size? Just hit them.
That's pretty funny. Well, we missed you, Chandler. We're glad you checked in with us.
All right, fellas.
Take care, Chandler. Talk to you soon.
All right. All right,
bye. All right. Let's see. We got 3 calls left on hold, and then we'll wrap this up, I guess. 646-478-4692. If anybody else wants to call in, and let's get to Costa.
Costa.
So Costa.
We got the band together.
Band's getting back together. Hey, what kind of package do you expect from the NHL? To say sorry, fans. What kind of package are they going to get?
Yeah, we ain't getting them got.
What? You don't think we'll get free game center?
I don't know. I'm gonna hold my breath.
Yeah. Where are you? I know you think Bettman is a putz and the whole thing, and you're certainly right. But do you think there's any chance we're gonna see some hockey this year, or is it over?
To be honest, the difference between this lockout and the last lockout is this time, this lockout more. Hockey is available to people.
It's true.
I mean, if you turn on like NBC Sports Network on Fridays, that's college hockey. So I'm watching that. I'm watching that shit.
Yeah, I know you like it, but is that satisfying the average Ranger fan?
No, of course not.
I know Jim is not watching any of that.
Oh,
although no. I must say I must be an addict because I've already been to 2 AHL games this year.
There you go.
I must be hooked.
You'll be able to start a blog like Mitch Beck.
Go ahead.
It's pretty much Bettman and Jeremy Jacobs, who's the owner of Boston, who is doing the lockout. It's those two guys. Because Jeremy Jacobs runs the Board of Governors. And like Candace said, there's like 7 or 8 teams basically saying, okay, we want to lock out the players. And chances are those 7 or 8 teams are the Columbuses of the world, the Floridas of the world, the Nationals of the world.
And Costa.
Yeah.
You know what else Chandler said, right?
What?
Glenn Sayles is a fucking pimp. Glenn Sayles is a fucking pimp.
Yes, that's what he said. The team is assembled.
And a team like Columbus actually is, they're losing money when there's a season, when there's no season. They'd rather have no season than have a season because then they're not losing money.
Yes.
So.
Well, they got Dubinsky. Oh, he got hurt. I see Artie scored a nice goal in wherever he's playing, the KHL. And I haven't even really gotten used to Rick Nash as a Ranger because, frankly, you know, it's, he hasn't played any games.
The only picture we've seen of him in his Ranger jersey, he was wearing flip-flops.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even get the adjustment period of that. I don't know. After this, you know, this show really just showed me this might not happen. I was still holding into my prediction that by January, but now I'm more bummed than ever now we're never stopped. Why did we have this show? Let me tell you. To bum me out.
Dubinsky. We wanted to get the band together, you know what I'm saying?
Dubinsky.
That cracks him up. He's still laughing at that.
Dubinsky.
You should have it on your iPod, like if you're if
you
ever.
That should be your ringtone.
Yeah, that should be Eddie's ringtone when he calls me. Dubinsky.
Well,
all right, Costa.
All right, man. Bye, bye.
Talk to you soon. All right, that was Costa. Zach!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
The original.
One of the originals.
That's
yes.
True.
They tried to take him away from us, like the Hostess Twinkie.
That's right.
You can't kill it. What's going on, Zach? What's your opinion on this whole mess?
I've just been keeping myself busy, trying to stay distracted from the lack of hockey. But the problem is my coworker is a huge, huge hockey fan. And every time I see him, we just can't stop talking about hockey. So it's been a brutal, brutal lockout for us all.
Yeah. I know. Once I start talking about it, I want to keep talking about, like, the players and stuff. And I was saying,
yeah.
I was thinking to myself the other day, I was like, so the what does this mean? Like, the guys we signed, like, a one-year contract, that contract's going to be expired at the end of this year if they don't play?
Well, what happened for the last lockout? Because just prior to that, the Rangers signed Kevin Weeks to a one-year deal. And I honestly don't remember if they announced that they're going to sign him to another one-year deal or if that 1 year is carried over to the next season.
Yeah, because I was, like, thinking, well, it could be a benefit for the Rangers because then we can correct all the off-season mistakes we did by getting Aaron Asham and a couple other losers I didn't really like. Maybe get somebody better will be available than those guys. But what am I don't know. Do you think something's going to get done? Zach, tell me something's going to get done, because this show is going, it's got me on the ledge. Talk me off the ledge.
I can tell you this much. I'm having one of those, I'm having a hockey funeral next Saturday. I think I invited you.
Oh, thank you. I got to tell you, that's a real uplifting thought. Thank you. You got me out of the doldrums with that one.
Well, you remember Catherine, right?
Yes.
She's coming to the funeral. I'm going to deliver a, well, funny eulogy, and she's going to sing. She's been inspired by Adam Sandler for rewriting the Hallelujah and saying, screw you, Sandy, or whatever. So she's doing that and saying, screw you, Bettman. So I highly recommend you come out. Hopefully somebody
will
report it.
Where is it
going to
be?
It's going to be at the Irish Times, right next to MSG.
Is Dancing Larry going to be there?
I have no idea.
Oh, no, he's a Molly Wee guy. You're the Irish.
Yeah.
Guys. Okay, all right. All right, well, we'll alert the media for the death of hockey.
We are the media.
The funeral. We are the media, actually.
I mean, as far as this season goes, the highlight of hockey for me was right after Hurricane Sandy. My parents and I actually ran away from the city after we lost power. We were upstate for several days, and my dad and I were near Albany. So we decided to go up to an Albany Devils game just for a game, and we found out they were playing against the Hartford Whale, or the Wolfpack,
wow,
or whatever they are, the Connecticut Whale. So we got to sit right next to the tunnel where they come out, and I posted the pictures on Facebook. So I was up there. Eddie, I know you didn't have power, but Jim, I don't know if you saw this, but I kept updating my status as the game goes along, and everybody was living vicariously through me.
As
I
the old even when you're not there.
That's right.
Yeah.
I live vicariously no matter what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But the thing that really drove me nuts about that game was it literally felt like I was watching an actual Rangers-Devils game. Everything that the Rangers do and do not do was clearly, you could clearly see it with the Whale. You know, they can't maintain the puck in the offensive zone. They get bombarded by shots. Cam Talbot stopped 45 shots that night. And yet, and the Rangers still managed to win in the shootout.
Ken Jananda's a genius. What did I tell you? Did you see Torts of the building? Because when I went to the Whale game in Hartford, I was about 100 feet away from Tortorella and power play coach God Mike Sullivan.
No, this game was up in Albany, so I didn't see those guys there. It's possible they were there, but I doubt it. But you know that
there is.
You know, it's mind-boggling. They can't seem to generate any offense, especially on the power play, and the Whale will whistle many times for penalties, including I think it was 4 against Kreider. These players, like all the AHL players, are literally going after him, and Kreider's
really?
Never had enough of it. Yes. There was one play, I don't remember the Devils player's name, but he was literally wrapped around Kreider's leg. Kreider is moving as if he's trying to get away, which clearly you would whistle a penalty against the Devil player. But the referee's just standing there doing nothing, so Kreider kept cross-checking him, and then the official called the penalty on Kreider. Later on, after Kreider got out of the bench, out of the penalty box, Kreider crashed that Devil player into the net. If I was a referee, I would have called, given him a game misconduct. I'm so glad he didn't get the game misconduct.
Yeah. I'm seeing what Stan's saying. He's going to go to when McElrath comes back. Yeah, I'm going to do that as well. When I went, Kreider got his first goal of the season. I don't know how he's doing now. I think he's doing a little bit better. I think some Ranger fans were a little worried. But, yes, you know, but you're like, oh, wow, the baby team is mirroring the, you know, the big team. Yeah, like I said, I missed those 2-1 games where Henrik makes 65 saves. That's a great defensive system. We block 50 shots. I don't know how the hell we got to the semifinals last year.
It's a mystery to us all.
Hopefully now
we get... Did you read the article in the New York Post the other day that Lundqvist wrote himself?
No. Was it about the baby?
No. Well, there was a paragraph about the baby. He was just talking about like how much he misses hockey, and when he played in the charity game, which a number of our friends went to, he felt really good playing again. I listened to the game on the radio. The announcers were saying that Lundqvist looks like he's playing in mid-season form, and Brodeur looks like crap.
Right, and we were discussing this. I think it was Tracy who brought it up. Bettman was not at that charity game, correct?
No. What I heard, and the radio guys, this is ESPN Atlantic City, were the only ones broadcasting the game. They kept bad-mouthing Bettman and the NHL.
Yeah, Bettman told
NBC. Not like how we do it. They weren't saying, oh, Bettman sucks and you should be fired and all that stuff. They were saying it's a disgrace that for a charity event, for Hurricane Sandy victims, is not being recognized by the NHL. I agree with them. It was offensive that they weren't recognizing it.
Yeah, but he also told NBC not to televise it, which would have brought at least some money in for Hurricane Sandy. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's not human.
It's amazing how last week we had all those good vibes that the that everybody minus Fair and Bettman are going to be sitting down and talking with each other. And I read the article on TSN. They showed the six or seven owners who you could clearly tell they were the ones that were pushing for the lockout to take place. And so they're meeting and everything seems to be good. You hear Nick Kyprios saying that the coaches reported to the players for an immediate return, and then Fair delivers the proposal and Bettman says no.
Right.
Is it me, or is Bettman acting like a kid who has a toy that clearly, in order for the toy to work, you need two people to play, and Bettman doesn't want to share?
That's exactly right. I think that's very well put, Zach.
It's true. Now, in regards to that seven-owner rule or whatever, I think that's an old rule back from when you had 12 teams, because the majority was seven-plus.
Probably. The NHL never got around to fixing that.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's you know, Bettman literally just wrote his obituary. It's like, all right, rest in peace, Gary Bettman, the man that destroyed a professional sporting league in North America.
Oh. All right, Zach. Well, thanks for bringing me up. I'm on cloud nine right now, let me tell you.
Anytime, Eddie. I do that just for you.
Good luck with your funeral.
Yeah.
Thank you. Eddie, all hopefully right. You'll come out.
Yeah. Is it an event on Facebook yet? Or?
Yeah, I think I sent you the invite. If not, I'll double check and I'll send you a message.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, see you later.
Take care, Zach.
All right, you too, guys.
Bye.
All right, Jim. Well, I'm sorry I was a little bit late to the party, but I'm glad I came.
We got one more phone call.
All right.
I think this is James. James?
Jim.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Good.
I'm doing well.
That's good. It's not good. It's not good, though, what's going on, you know?
That's terrible.
Like you said, the hockey withdrawal is, like, really getting to me. You know, same thing, just like you guys. It's like you thought it was going to be just a little bit, and then you kind of put into your head it's going to be a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and, you know, then you hear good things, and you think something's going to happen, and they're going to come to some kind of agreement, and, you know, you get knocked down again, and right? Then you sit around waiting again for something. It's a tease, you know? You're getting teased left and right. It's like it doesn't stop. And that's what I feel like.
You're right. Yeah, right, James, because then they do they do JD at us with the thumbs up. You know that?
Yeah.
JD
exactly.
Just gives the thumbs up. I'm like, you give the thumbs up, that means we're going. We're going to play. No, we're not going to play.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's so damn frustrating, you know? I mean, like you said, football season's, you know, regular season just has a few weeks to go, and it's like, okay, you know, and that's usually when hockey takes over full time, and you know, that's what we look forward to, and now we're just like sitting around, you know, like what the hell is going on? You know, it's like, why the hell can't they come to an agreement? I have that seven stuck in my damn head now too, you know, seven.
Yeah,
and that reminds me of the old Abbott and Costello thing. You know, how many people in the car? Three, seven. How many in the front? Three. How many in the back? One. Three and one. Seven, you know,
right.
Seven. Costello just kept saying seven, no matter how many it was. And the cop had to tell him three and one will never be seven, never was seven, you know. And I got that seven in my head, you know. It's like, fuck, man. Come on. It's like, you keep hearing they're close. I mean, there got to be something going on. If they're so close, what the hell keeps dragging it back, you know? It's like quicksand, you know. It's like you think you're getting out of it, and it's like sucking you back down or something, you know. It's like, you know, what's going on with these guys?
Yeah, well, I need the games back because, like you and like Jim, you know, we got things going on in our life, and we need something to vent that and watch a TV and go, here we go again.
And who better than our New York Rangers to vent that, right?
Exactly. They're up, they're down, they're in the middle, they stink, they can make the Stanley Cup, you know, the power play stinks for the 50th year in a row. Lundqvist without Lundqvist, if he gets hurt, with shot. I missed it all. You know,
and you're right, and that's it. And we love to do that. You know, we love to sit here imagining good things and then the bad things. And not that we want to imagine the bad things. It's just stuff that we've grown accustomed to over the years that it just happens like that, you know. it, you know, when we know something's going good, it's like we almost wait for the breakdown to come or something to happen, and then it usually does, you know, except for that one magical year. That was it, you know, and the rest of the times it's the same, you know. You got the hope, you got all the good vibes going, everything's going good, and then something stupid happens, or they're not playing the way they're capable of playing. And now we have Rick Nash, who I really couldn't wait to see play, you know, in MSG and see this team that they've assembled, and one that I think is better than it's been in a long time, and just looking so damn forward to seeing this.
Yeah.
Like I said, the tease comes in again. You know, it's like you want to see it so damn bad, but you can't. We're locking you guys out. Seven.
Yeah. Yeah. The same thing. And I want to see the only thing the Rangers really need is goal scoring, and they went out and got it. I thought being up to 40 goals may make them push them into a different level. But
yeah,
the time's running out, and I've seen, you know, what that would have happened. You know,
I believe, as long as they're healthy, just like any sport, any team, you know, you got to be healthy, you know, and you got to have a little bit of luck, and, you know, good things got to happen, you know, go your way. But like they say, sometimes you make your own luck, you know, I mean, if you're good enough, and if you fight hard enough, sometimes you do get lucky, and sometimes you don't. Maybe the majority of times you do when you're good. I mean, but you know, this was, I still think when it's finally all said and done, I think we're going to be a very good team, but man, it's hard to wait. You know, it's like now it's, you know, we're pushing towards 2013 already, and I think in, you know, when was it? The year after we won the cup, it started.
I think it was
January 20th, if something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
January 20th.
I remember watching that, and I remember watching against Buffalo, and I remember the banner going up and all that stuff, you know, and. You know, now we're getting too damn close to that. You know, like in October and stuff, and November, you think, okay, well, we have some time. Maybe there'll be a 70-game season or 65. Now as we're getting, you know, we're halfway through December already. Now it's starting to get a little dicey now, you know, very dicey. And it's like, okay, what the hell are we going to do now? Now we're going to miss another whole season again? I mean, this, you know, 2004 or 2005, whatever it was. The whole season gone, and now just a few years later, same thing.
Yeah. No.
Didn't they learn from last time? I always wonder that, you know. Couldn't
these
people learn? I mean, couldn't they get these negotiations started, you know, way sooner than they did? I mean, what the hell are these people thinking?
I don't know. I don't know how you can be considered a major sport or even in that realm of a serious sport when you can't keep your league together for consecutive years. I mean, this is stupid. It's silly. It really is.
It is. And Bettman, to me, I mean, you know, I'm speaking for myself, and I guess a lot of people feel the same. To me, the guy is an idiot. I never liked the guy. To me, it's just been like, I don't know. He just seems like he don't give a shit, and I don't think he does. Like you said, like who was saying? I think it was Chandler was saying it. He's getting paid. He's making money. He's keeping his job. What does he care?
Yeah. Hey, he works for the owners. He's not working for hockey. He's working for the owners. That's what his job is.
You
don't think he's an ambassador for hockey. That's not the right way. He's in business for the owners. He's not looking out for the best of hockey.
Yeah, that's exactly the fans. I mean, you know, especially us kind of fans, you know, the fans who they had, you know, every game, crappy or Stanley Cup champions, we're going to watch our team. We're going to watch them, whether they suck, whether everybody's injured and they have a whole team of freaking minor leaguers in there. God forbid, Henrik gets hurt and we have crappy goaltending. We're still going to watch it, you know. We're still going to root on. We're still going to, you know, just like you said, whether it's, you know, whether they give up 100 goals or Henrik's in there standing on his head, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to watch them. And it's just, like I said, the frustration is, like, building. And I'm not even feeling good. I usually feel happy around Christmas time. I don't feel it this year, man. I'm so fucking pissed.
Well, yeah, because hockey's a big part of the winter. You got the NFL, you know, playoffs for your Giants coming up, and football's winded down, and then you got your hockey in between to, you know, kind of, like, in between the football games to kind of, like, get your interest away. Now,
I'm not a basketball fan, so to me,
My nephew is a big basketball fan, big Knicks fans, and they're enjoying themselves. They miss the Rangers too, but they have at least they have the Knicks. Now, I'm not a basketball person. I never was. I'll watch the playoffs or something if it's on, whatever. But it just never really interested me. You know, I was never good at it, so I never really got into it. But man, when it comes to hockey. Yeah, when it comes to hockey, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I used to play and stuff, you know, whether it was a pickup game or I was in a league or whatever, just like the pros, you know, I used to go out there, busted toes, busted face. It was so much fun to play. I'd play anyway. You know, it doesn't matter what I had. I didn't care. Put me on the baseball teams or anything else, wasn't feeling that great. I didn't want to play. I don't want to play. When it was hockey, it was like, I don't care. You know, I'll go out there.
Yeah,
I'll go out and play. Like,
no matter when
yeah,
somebody
you just
asks
care.
You.
You know, it's just that's the way I feel about hockey, you know. And the way we all do it, we wouldn't be on the phone talking, like, you know, every week and stuff like that. But that's how much we love it. And we just, you know, like I say, that's what, you know, we live and die for our teams. But the Rangers, for all of us, are at the top. And no one how good we're going to be or think we could be. It just imagining what they have, you know, what we've accumulated over the past few years and stuff, player wise and draft picks and the young guys and stuff. It's exciting. And like I say, now we're just being, you know, shut out of it all. You know, I actually went to the movies the other night. I haven't been to the movies in over a year.
Yeah.
You know, so. It would be like a night. I'm watching hockey every night. I never go to the movies in the winter time. There's always a hockey game on. You know, one of these nights, so I could deal with something. But now it's like, okay, well, nothing's going on. I'm gonna go to damn movies. You know, because there's no hockey. And I can't watch the game when you guys were talking earlier. You know, I can't watch the KHL or anything else. I can't do it. It's like just not into it.
No,
James, will you shut that dog up?
one of them. He's this guy that you hear really loud. He's a quarter wolf, so he freaking howls at night like the freaking, you know, he'll howl, man. He'll go, ooh, I mean, loud. Everybody wakes up, you know.
Oh, your neighbor.
But, yeah, there's a couple. I have a couple dogs. Yeah, he's a big guy. I'll put him on Facebook. You see how fucking useless this dog is.
All right. Yeah,
he's up to my hip. When he's, like, next to me walking. He's up to my hip. And I'm nearly 6 feet, so yeah, he's a big white. He's three-quarter shepherd and a quarter wolf, and his fangs like curve, like, you know, like when you see those vampire, you know, those fangs curve just like that.
Uh-huh. Eddie, what are the wolves called on Game of Thrones? Dire wolves? Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
It must be like one of those.
Right, yeah, man, he's loud. Oh man, he's like, you know, and he was right outside the door too, so. But lucky he didn't howl, so it ain't. I guess it ain't late enough for him yet to start howling. But I'm gonna start howling, man, if we don't get some hockey.
Well,
that's right.
We'll see. All right, James. Listen, we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you for calling. Good to talk to you. We'll probably talk to you Tuesday night after for the Giants and Jets show. For those of you that don't know, the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour every Tuesday night at 7:30 Eastern, right here on this same channel. And James, we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you guys. And just in case I miss you and I don't, you know, don't get to talk to you, so I wish you guys a Merry Christmas. And I hope to talk to you soon. And your families,
right.
Everybody, okay?
Yeah. Take care.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
All right, buddy.
All right, that was James. Eddie, we're ready to wrap this up?
Yeah.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't join us for the Giants Jets show, have a Merry Christmas, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.